Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is John Norwood, back for our second part of our two-part series as he's running for the Democratic nomination unopposed in the upcoming June primary election for Iowa Secretary of Agriculture. And so, John, in the program that we last left off on, you had pointed out three kind of obstacles or issues that you would like to see addressed. Can you maybe describe some of those solutions to those issues?
Basically, I boil it down because if you have too many things, it gets too complicated. So let's just focus on three things we need to do to fix the water quality, fix the soils, and rebalance the community health. Okay, the first thing we need to do, I described the 23 million acres of corn and bean ground. About 14 million of that 23 is tiled. And people say, well, what's tiling? That's the ag plumbing. That's the plumbing in the field that drains the field. Been doing this as a state since it was settled, and it's an important part of making the state productive. Of the 14 million that's tiled, about 6 to 7 is controlled by something called a drainage district. Well, what's a drainage district? It's an association of landowners that have got together to drain their water collectively. These drainage districts were also foundational to the state and have been built over the past 100 years. Over $100 billion worth of investment in those drainage districts. But guess what? Just like the name implies, they were built primarily to drain. They were not built to manage water for all of the different functions. That's what we need to do now. With climate change, changing climate in particular, we don't need to just send the water down the river, down the ditch with all the nutrients and so forth. We need to try to manage that water in the field, first of all, on the edge of the field, second of all, close to the river and so forth before. The least best use is to put it back into the river in a form that's not safe and not usable. So there's a big emphasis that we need to put into place on managing water and redefining the drainage districts. And in fact, my soil and water district just invented a new way to begin to bundle the infrastructure so we're not fixing one thing at a time. We're doing them in dozens. And something called a saturated buffer, we just did a pilot of 50 of those, and then we're going to do 100. And that started because I reimagined and brought a team of people together to how to do this, not one at a time, but do it in a targeted fashion. So that's the first thing we need to do, is fix the ag plumbing. The second thing we need to do is repair soil health. And people say, well, what's soil health? And I say, think of soil as dirt plus biology. The dirt is the physical and chemical components of the soil. And we think in our farming about we got to add NPK back at some level for the plants and so forth. But we have not spent a lot of time thinking and learning about the biology part of soil, which is super important. Let me give you just one example. Soil's ability to infiltrate water depends on the biology that's in the soil. The soil, if it performs well, if it has organic matter that is the matrix for the biology to eat and to thrive, is present, then the soil can do things like infiltrate water in a big rainstorm and hold that water through a drought. Our soil organic matter, which is carbon in another form, that's another important topic, has been depleted. It used to be at 5, 6, 7% in the soil. Now it's down at 2 or 3 because of the way we've mined the soil and also because of our tillage practices and our use of inputs and so forth. That's degraded the biology, it's degraded the soil. So if we are able to reinvigorate the soil with this organic matter, just 1% increase in soil organic matter, something we can do in about 10 years with cover crops and cropping systems and know-how. Wayne Fredericks up in Mitchell County has done some analysis. What that 1%, 27,000 gallons per acre. Well, if you do some simple math, let's take 10 million acres and you apply the 27,000 gallons per acre times the 10 million acres. Now you're talking the kind of storage that is in Sailorville Lake. Our listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with Sailorville Lake. 1.3 Sailorville Lake's worth of storage at flood stage, not when you're driving your boat there on a nice sunny day in the summertime. This is when it's spilling over the dam. That's a lot of water. And instead of that being down in the reservoir, gumming up the reservoir with all the silt and the nutrients, it's up in the field. And for every percent of soil organic matter, that corn crop can, on average, stand another week of drought resistance because that soil is able to hold on to that moisture. So soil health, that's the second important thing. And we need to have new approaches how we accelerate the soil health, because we have so long to go. With the 23 million acres, we're not even to 2 million acres on cover crops. And the third thing we need to do is diversify what we produce, where we produce it, and who gets to produce it. And I would submit that of the 23 million acres of corn and beans, there's about 2.5 million where we're growing corn and beans and we shouldn't be. Well, John, why are we doing that? Well, we're doing it in part because the federal government provides subsidies in the form of crop insurance is probably the biggest one, the number two entitlement behind nutrition assistance. Yeah. And we ought to think more carefully about where we provide crop insurance, the kinds of acres. So, you know, on highly erodible land or two-year floodplain land, maybe that's not the place to grow corn and beans. Maybe that should be CRP, or maybe that should be kind of perennial crop, or, you know, figure out where maybe livestock can go in some of these areas, and we have to maybe tweak some of the rules to be more friendly to livestock without impacting, you know, water bodies and so forth. So we got to reimagine some of this, and some of that two and a half million. If we take it out of the corn and bean production, we're going to reduce the soil loss, we're going to improve water quality, and guess what? We're going to give the farm another source of income. Think of CRP payments almost like a bond payment, right? It's predictable, and so the farm is a portfolio of different revenue streams, and the CRP might be something that's more akin to a bond than corn and beans that can fluctuate with the market. So that's one form of diversification. Another form of diversification is thinking about what else do we grow besides corn and beans? There are a lot of potential crops with higher value that we could be growing. There's 80 million people within a day's drive of Iowa, 3.1 million people, table foods, indoor agriculture, specialty agriculture. Just one example, California, to show you the value difference. Iowa is about $40 billion on 23 million acres of corn and beans. That number might be a little high, but just a rough approximation depending on what you throw in. California, I was in a presentation earlier this year, the wine industry, on 1 million acres produces $40 billion. And I'm not saying we go grow grapes and wine here in Iowa, sure. But it gives you an example, $40 billion from 23 million acres, $40 billion from a million acres. The value we have to begin to think about is, in some cases with indoor or hoop houses, is dollars per square foot. So the idea is, you know, we have conventional commodity system. I'm not tearing that down. We got to lift that up. But we got to realize for every 100 acres, maybe 80 to 90 is corn and beans still. But the other 10 to 15, that's where the conversation needs to be happening. What do we do with the 10 to 15 acres that's higher value, that diversifies the economy? And guess what? Provides jobs. So those kids who grow up in that, pick your rural county, they don't leave. We're exporting our kids in this state too because of the focus on the commodity system. And so fewer and fewer people are able to play in that world because you need more acres, more equipment, more money. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So the way we do this is we introduce diversification and we help people farm at different scales. Maybe it's 5 acres, maybe it's 10 acres. The idea of a farm park, people laugh when they heard me say that, but the farm park is like a business park or industrial park. It's just centered around farming. In each county, it might be a little bit different, but imagine it's not corn and beans. Maybe it's 100 acres, and it's broken up into 5, 10, 20, 20-acre pieces. Groups of people or individual operators are doing their own thing, specialty crops. In my vision, you can't go do conventional corn and beans there. And there's maybe processing facilities and packaging. The Amazon truck pulls up to this part of it. And each county re-envisions its own. And urban counties would have maybe some farm parks too. The only people who we call farmers have to be fifth generation, or can people who are newly arrived, the immigrant groups, the 150 languages spoken in Des Moines schools, some of those people want to farm. Let's help them.
And that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Green County program, again with the Democratic candidate for Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, John Norwood, joining us for our second of our two-part series. You're listening to the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.